Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present. And the first order of business today is the approval of the minutes from Monday, May 6, 2024. Vice Chair Edelson, can I get a motion?
That's my motion, Madam Chair.
Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the minutes have been adopted. So we have two bills on the schedule for today, House File 5220, the Capital Investment GO Bonding Bill, and we also have House File 5162, the Capital Investment Cash Capital Investment Bill. And so what we're going to do is have opening words from Chair Lee, and then we'll walk through the spreadsheet that will include both the spreadsheet for both House File 5220 and 5162. And so we'll do that, and then we'll have discussion to each bill separately and move them separately. So welcome to the committee, Representative Lee. Please describe your bills.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Both House File 5220 and 5162, like the chair mentioned, are our proposal for this year's capital infrastructure package. The first one is the GO bonding bill, and then the second one is general fund bill. So members, as you all know, last year we passed the largest capital investment package in state history at an amount of roughly $2.6 billion in investment for critical infrastructure. And as you all may also know, this past summer, FMB, through their portal, received more than $7 billion in requests from agencies and local governments on infrastructure package. And throughout the fall, I don't think any of the members here serve on the Capital Investment Committee, but we embark on a five regional tours throughout the entire state, spending a total of 14 days to give members an opportunity to hear from communities about critical infrastructure that's really important to them, and to provide members a context for the needs that we have across different communities that, may not be in their own backyard. And at the end of the day, what we have in front of all of you is a bill that, or a proposal that seeks to right the things for the people of Minnesota, to take care of our assets, to ensure communities have clean water, to plant trees and restore natural spaces, to prevent flooding, to improve air quality at view of recreational facilities, to provide modern and efficient spaces for those who serve in our military, and to ensure veterans have quality care facilities. And so with that, Madam Chair, before I turn it over to Mr. Andy Lee from House Fiscal, this bill has a net impact of $900 million in GO bonds, along with $1.3 million appropriated from the general fund to defease the bond finance improvements at the Cloquet Forestry Center so that the property can be transferred out of state ownership. And then we also have $1.8 million from the Trunk Highway Fund for the Capitol Complex security upgrades over at the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And then just real quickly to the general fund bill, we have $38.7 million in general fund appropriations for a total of $40 million. And so I do want to note that, the proposal that we have in front of us is a total of around $600 million for state agency spendings. That is a reflection of the work that we have in agreement as of right now with Representative Erdahl on the House minority side, acknowledging that, I think there's still ongoing conversation about the size and scope of a bill, but, we need to continue to push this forward, and so that's what we have in front of us. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Andy Lee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Lee. Please proceed with introducing yourself and walking through the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. And I'll go through the spreadsheet that committee members should have in front of you. That's five pages long and looks like this. It's a list. In the first column is the amendment to House File 5220. That's the bonding authorization. And in the second column is the amendment to House File 5162, and this is the general fund appropriations bill. So the first two items in the GO column are for University of Minnesota and Minnesota State for $40 million each for higher education asset preservation. Then moving on to the Department of Education, on line 30 in GO, there is $381.121 million in library construction grants. Then for the general fund bill, there's $23.425 million in general fund for library construction grants, and then $1 million for City of Clara new building library, or new library building. For state academies, for asset preservation, $1.227 million, $1 million for asset preservation for Purbridge Center for the Arts, And then under the Department of Natural Resources, this is all in the GO bill, $15 million for asset preservation, $18 million for the Bedora Tree Nursery, $2 million for improving accessibility, $5 million for flood hazard mitigation undesignated, $2.5 million for reforestation, and $6 million for community tree planting grants. Under the Pollution Control Agency, $8 million for statewide drinking water contamination mitigation. Then moving to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, $2.5 million for local road wetland replacement, $4 million for reinvest in Minnesota CREP, and then moving to the Minnesota Zoo, $15 million for the animal hospital. Under the Department of Administration, $8.5 million in GO for ADA capital tunnel accessibility upgrades, $750,000 in the general fund bill for ADA building accommodation. Then from the Trunk Highway Fund, $1.8 million for capital security complex upgrades phase three. And in GO, $2,044,000 for capital asset replacement account. For ADA accessibility account in GO, $3.5 million. And then for capital mall improvements, $12 million in GO. Then a one-time appropriation of $4.3 million in general fund for sustainable building guidelines implementation. In grants to political subdivisions, $5 million for the City of St. Paul for planning and economic development related to the capital area. Under Amateur Sports Commission, in GO, $6 million for asset preservation for the National Sports Center, $1 million for the Mighty Ducks grant program. Under Military Affairs, $3 million for the Duluth hangar design, and $47,998,000 for the BCA Southern Minnesota Regional Office and Laboratory under the Department of Public Safety. Then moving to the Department of Transportation on page three, $35 million for major local bridge replacement program, $3 million for the Port Development Assistance Program, $20 million for the local bridge replacement program, and $31.621 million for the local road improvement program that's undesignated, and $5 million for township roads. Under Metropolitan Council, $4,125,000 for Metro Parks, $10 million for the Inflow and Infiltration Grant Program, and under General Fund, $3.78 million for tree planting grants. Under the Department of Human Services, $8 million for asset preservation, $4.5 million for early childhood facilities in GO, and $2 million in General Fund. For Veterans Affairs, $9 million for asset preservation, and $16.045 million for the Minneapolis Veterans Home, Building 16. Under Department of Corrections, $40 million for asset preservation in GO and $3.906 million for general fund. Then for Rush City, $46.585 million for that expansion. On the fourth page, under Department of Employment and Economic Development, $2 million for the TED program, Transportation Economic Development, $2 million for Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program, and $1 million in general fund for a grant for capital mall improvements. Under the Public Facilities Authority, $39 million for federal matching, and then for the WIF program, $35.484 million for the Water Infrastructure Program, half of which is for drinking water grants and half of which is for clean water grants, which is wastewater. Then for the Point Source Implementation Program, $18.527 million for that, and $7 million for the Emerging Contaminants Grant Program. Under Housing Finance Authority, $10 million for the Greater Minnesota, for Public Housing Rehabilitation, and $4.5 million for the Greater Minnesota Housing Infrastructure Program Co-op Manufactured Homes. Under Historical Society, $5.588 million for Historic Sites Asset Preservation, and $1 million for county and local preservation grants. Then under Minnesota Management and Budget, there's the general fund appropriation in the GO authorization bill for $1.3 million for the University of Minnesota Cloquet Forestry Bond Defeasance, and $985,000 for the estimated expenses of GO bond sale. Then on the fifth page, you can see the totals, and you can see the grand totals on line 420 for both bills. Yeah. And then I'll note cancellations for GO, and this was the 2024 cancellation report that you can see online 424, largely the number of miscellaneous items from previous authorizations. And then on line 425, a specific cancellation for the 2023 Behavioral Health Crisis Center in Duluth. So you can see the net GO impact on line 430 is just under $980 million. That's the net GO bond authorization. And then you can see two cancellations for general fund on line 432 and 436, like the GO cancellations on line 424, line 423 is largely miscellaneous items from previous authorizations, and then a specific cancellation in laws 2023, chapter 53, for the repealed capital area community vitality account, that's $5 million. So you can see the general fund total from the two bills is $40 million, and you can see that on line 438. You'll notice blanks on the difference from base in debt service, and that's the result of MMB assuming a GO bill of $980 million in this year, so that is the base. Then moving on to the one-page spreadsheet, which looks like this. This shows the base amounts for debt service for general obligation bonds starting on line 5, and then the various appropriation bond authorizations and one-time capital appropriations. And the changes proposed in House File 5220 and House File 5162 start on line 32 through 38. And so you can see the net total in general fund spending change for debt service. Those are the spreadsheets.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Chair Lee. So I think what we'll do is we'll take action on the bills and then have discussion on the GO and the capital, the cash bill. Does that work for you, Chair Lee, if we did it that way?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you. And if you want to stay, Mr. Lee, too, for those discussions. So the first bill then is the House File 5220. So I move that House File 5220 be placed on the general register. And I also move the A5 amendment. And so do you want to describe the A5 amendment, Chair Lee?
Madam Chair, I will have Chelsea Griffith from House Research to provide a walkthrough.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with describing the A5 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. For the record, my name is Chelsea Griffin and I'm with House Research. So I'll be walking you through the amendment coded H5220A5. My plan was to focus the walkthrough on the Article 2 provisions, since most of the amendment language for Article 1 was already reflected in Mr. Lee's walkthrough, if that's okay.
That sounds great. Thank you. Please proceed.
So the Article 2 miscellaneous changes actually begin all the way on page 6. So if you go to page 6, lines 7 through 9, these are changes to the new DNR tree community tree planting grant program. It makes a technical change to the supplemental demographic index score language. Lines 6.10 to 6.16 are changes to the Pollution Control Agency statewide drinking water contamination mitigation program. This also makes changes to the supplemental demographic index score language, and it addresses how money that would be recovered in a civil action would be treated. And then page 6, line 17, that instruction deletes the secondary sources of drinking water program, which is not funded in the bill. Lines 6.18 to 6.20 make changes to the supplemental demographic index score, that's contained in the Public Facilities Authority Emerging Contaminants Grant Program. Line 6.21 makes a change. This deletes the Met Council Tree Planting Grant Program because it's not funded with GO bonds. Lines 6.22 to 6.27 make changes to the Metropolitan Cities Inflow and Infiltration Program, making conforming changes to the Supplemental Demographic Index Score. And lines 6.28 to 6.30 have a clarifying language about the Cloquet Forestry Center land transfer. And Madam Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the H5220A5 amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Further comments on that, Representative Lee?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Discussion to the A5 amendment. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So can you explain functionally what is different in the language? You've got it, looks like, three different times, changing of 70% or greater, and then you've got some language change there. What does that functionally change?
Ms. Griffin or Representative Lee?
So, yeah, so this is based off on some of the feedback that we have heard from the MAC Council and some of the other agencies in order for us to capture more of some of the communities that we want to make sure that receive some of the funding, you know, whether that's through, you know, the different indicators that's defined in the bill. So that's why we're looking at census Black groups rather than just or blocks, and then just making sure the 70% or get ready, or just striking that and then inserting the 70th percentile or higher within the state of Minnesota, so that we're not capturing the 70% of the entire state, or no, not of the entire country, but just focusing on the need of the state of Minnesota.
Representative Rarick.
Oh, that's fine. I just didn't understand what he was doing. So that's, I guess I do have one quick question. So you talked about civil action, that it's is changing the treatment of civil action. Can you explain what that means?
Representative Lee.
So I could briefly talk about that, and I know that MMB is here too. And so in the new program that's being created under the MPCA, you know, for example, you know, I think what we're trying to get at is, you know, emerging contaminants or contaminants of concerns, like, you know, PFAS. We have been hearing around that. And one example that I could use that kind of get to this issue is the city of Hastings. Right now, they have a need of over, I think, $70 million in water treatment requests. And then they're working with the MPCA to see if there's a responsible party that could be attributed to why there's PFAS in the city of Hastings. And so in the event that, let's say, we fund, you know, water infrastructure for the city of Hastings in the future, if the MPCA and the state of Minnesota is able to, through civil action, recover some funds from the responsible party, then what my proposal is saying is that we're recovering the money that's recovered will have to come back into the new program that we're creating. But this morning we just had some feedback from MMB saying that what we're proposing here may not be allowed under federal law, and so we're not, you know, we're going to continue to have conversation on maybe going back to the language that MMB provided because of some of the federal issues that's dealing with IRS statutes.
Representative Rarick.
Sorry. I'll move over so we can see each other.
Do this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess the final question would be then, if this is in conflict with federal law, or potentially as we're discovering that, is it better to not adopt this and do something on the House floor, or, you know, put this aside and figure that out? Because it seems like a pretty big issue with this amendment then.
Representative Lee.
Madam Chair, I believe that, you know, we need to continue to move forward. And like I mentioned in my earlier introductory remarks, and say that this is just reflected of some of the ongoing conversation that we have had, you know, with tentative agreements with Representative Erdahl, knowing and acknowledging that the size and scope of the bill will not be 980. It might be smaller than that. And as we move forward in the process, we'll make sure to change this language if, you know, what MMB said is true, that we cannot do this. And so it is my intent to change the language back to what MMB proposes so that we don't have to deal with the issues with federal laws.
Thank you, Representative Lee.
And then, Madam Chair, so then functionally, what would we do? Are we sending this to the GR, and then would we pull it back here to do that, or would we just continue on to the floor? What's the path then?
Representative Rarick, I think, as Chair Lee mentioned, that there is some agreement, as you know, on your side with the $600 million, but the bill is still a work in progress, and as you know, with bonding bills, they're an evolution, and so this bill will continue to get worked on. Representative Rarick.
Yes, I understand that part, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, are we going to be, you had made a motion to move this to the GR, so are we going to continue to do that and then make those changes on the House floor as a big amendment for over $300 million of changes?
Representative Rarick, yes, that is the intention, and looking at Chair Lee for, and he is nodding in agreement.
Madam Chair, thank you. And Representative Rarick, I really appreciate that. And so I just want to say again that, you know, this one is specifically just to that new program that we're creating for the water mitigation under the MPCA and not entirely for all the other projects.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, we did conflate the two things. The chair was speaking about your library fund, which is parking some other things. I did conflate to that, but to this amendment, I was just wondering if we should wait until you actually get confirmation from MMB as to which direction we can go legally and not have federal conflicts with this language.
Representative Lee.
And thank you, Madam Chair, and I really appreciate that clarification. And the intent is to make that change whenever we do come up on the House floor.
Representative Rick, and I just meant in general, whatever changes, you know, this bill will continue to change, whether it be the pieces we all agree on or other work that still needs to get done on the bill. It will continue to get worked on. Further discussion to the A5 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A5 amendment has been adopted. So to the bill as amended, discussion. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just generally, so you've got $40 million in HEPR and $40 million in HEPR for the two big systems, so for Minn State and the University of Minnesota. And obviously, you know, being on the higher ed committee, I know that their asks were $500 million and $500 million. And so we're doing 40 of 500. Have they made any indication as to if we're going from 500 million to 40 million, how they would use the now much smaller amount? And is this still a work in progress, or is this what we'll see on the House floor in that area?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and thank you for the questions. I would just say and acknowledge that, you know, when we were working off of a 980 proposal, the amounts were a little significantly higher, but as we continue to move down because of the interest to not spend as much NGO or bonds, that we had to make decisions to make cuts. So that's why we're at 40 million for each system. They have said publicly and, you know, in meetings with me too, that this is not going to be able to address some of the needs that they have on their campus. And I think this is a decision that we have to make because of the decision to move down on spending amounts. And as we have seen, you know, in the past, you know, the two systems, when we request them, can you provide us a list of, if we were to give you a certain amount, which asset preservation projects can you do? And they have done so. Mm-hmm. I don't have that in front of me today, but I'm sure that if we ask of the systems, they can provide that for all of us.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, no, I've seen those lists. They're very detailed and expansive. I just was curious as to what they had mentioned to you as to what they would use the $40 million for, but I guess we'll talk about that on the House floor. Okay, and so on page two of the spreadsheet, you've got the BCA building in southern Minnesota. Do you know or do you have in front of you what was their total ask? I'm trying to remember, like, what their ask was versus what we're able to fund.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rick, if we're talking about the total Department of Public Safety ask, I don't have that in front of me, but I'm sure that Mr. Andy Lee, if we give him a couple of minutes, he will be able to provide that total amount.
Representative Rick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, I just meant the one project. I know that the BCA alone has multiple projects, and this is one of their projects. I just don't have that number ready in my head as to what this project was. I know a little bit more about the project up in Bemidji because that's where I'm from, and I got to tour that. So I just don't know this number and how close we are to actually getting this shovels in the ground and moving forward.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that clarification. So the amount listed here is the amount that's being requested from the BCA for this project.
Okay.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. So then the last question I'll ask, and I'll turn it over to my colleagues, is the Department of Corrections section on page three. And I know that their deferred maintenance for the whole correction system, so there are 11 prisons, it is $729 million is their deferred maintenance. And so we're giving them, you know, it's a little bit worse than the Minn State system or the University of Minnesota system. where they asked for 500, we're giving them 40. But here, I know that their deferred maintenance is 729 million, and we're giving them 40 million. Same kind of question. Do you know how they would prioritize and where that money would be spent? Is it like St. Cloud or Stillwater, or like those are the two oldest and most in need, or?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Rourke. I think to that point, I would defer to Department of Corrections. If members would like that, we could make sure to request that information so that at whatever level we decide to put in for them, whether that's continuing to stay at 40, going up or down, that members have an idea where the funding will be used.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Representative Rourke.
Just final, we need to have these conversations. These are real conversations I guess we'll have them on the House floor, but these are real questions. Like, where is the money going? What is it for? There's tremendous need. As you pointed out, was it $7 billion of requests out there? And in this system in particular, they tend to fall to the bottom of the list often because it's corrections. So again, I've seen that with my own eyes too, as how bad it is, but are the two buildings in particular, Stillwater and St. Cloud, are like 1905, I think, vintage. And so it's very difficult to, and they house a lot of people, 1,600 people in one. Anyway, I will let that be. I just want to know if we can discuss that here, but we don't have that information, Madam Chair, so that'll be on the floor. Thank you.
Right. And we'll see. I think Representative Lee would also say he'd be happy to make sure we get this to members offline as well, too, as things progress. Further discussion? Representative Pinto.
Thanks, Chair. And yeah, this is actually just a follow-up on that. One of the comments during the public safety debate yesterday, I think from Representative Avati, was about the need in this area of corrections. And it seems like it's a longer-term thing. So, Chair Lee is balancing so many different needs this year. But I guess I'd be interested as well in terms of whatever funding we are able to dedicate, how that be used. But then I guess just this opportunity to highlight for the longer term, I think, again, beyond this year, to make some progress. I know that Representative Finke in our caucus has a particular interest in that, and others as well, because it really is a long-term need to address needs and corrections. So I guess just agreeing that for this particular, knowing where this funding would go this year will be interesting. I'll be interested to hear from that on from the DOC. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just have very minor questions. One is one that Representative Rourke asked, and my understanding is that this is the last time we'll see this bill in this committee before it goes to the floor amendments, correct? And I have one small question for this bill and one for the next one. The question for this one is, is there some place or do we know the cap of what is available for GO bond for this biennium?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll have Mr. Lee talk about that. You know, when we received the forecast earlier this year, the cap for us with regards to, you know, some of our debt management guideline is $980 million for GL.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. And if Mr. Lee says it's the same thing, nods his head, that's just fine.
Mr. Lee.
Madam Chair and Representative Petersburg, yes, MMB estimates the maximum additional GO authorization for this year would be $980 million in GO.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Further discussion, Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Chair Olson. And Chair Lee, I just want to thank you for the work that all of your colleagues on the Capital Investment Committee have done. I know there were 14 days of tours, but that's never where your job ends. And I know you had hours and hours and hours of committee hearings where folks could come up and debate and discuss the merits of all the projects. And just want to thank you for all the intentional work that you folks put in and look forward to seeing the finished project on the House floor.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Lee. Been lucky to be on your committee and travel the state and see pretty much everybody's around the whole table's districts, and it's amazing the hard work that you put into it, Mr. Chair, and your staff, and partisan and nonpartisan. But I just want to say, I think it'd be good for the committee to know the number of requests, like the total requests versus how much you're able to fund, even with the 980. And quite honestly, dropping it down to 600 is ridiculous a little bit, knowing that our state could have a, we have a much higher capacity. So maybe if you could answer the question of how many requests you have, and but really it's it was great to see everybody's districts, and even people you surprised even might have even voted against the bill were asking for bonding projects. But thank you for all your hard work, but maybe you could just tell the committee what the actual request number versus what we're able to do at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Lilly, for that. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, I think just the total that we received over the summer, or the state received, was around $7.6 billion, acknowledging that there are communities and entities out there that are making requests outside of that. And so I think that the number, you know, the official number that we have received in the CAPS in the system is around 7.6, but there are more requests coming than what was included in there.
Thank you.
That's it, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I think if you look at, Madam Chair, if you look at bill introductions, I think, as the Chair said, that people are still introducing bills, so we're probably pushing $10 billion.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Further discussion to the bill. Lee Grafflo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, Mr. Lee, I want to thank you for the one-page summary you provide on debt service obligations. It's a very, I think people get focused on GO, and they kind of look beyond all the other things we do with appropriation bonds and elsewhere. So thank you for providing that sheet, and I hope you continue to do that in the future. Representative Lee, good to see you. First of all, let me apologize for what's going to happen to you and your bill next week on the floor. I just want to say I'm sorry about that. I wish that other factors were at play, and that your work would be resulting in your bill in some form becoming law. Last year, we passed the largest capital investment bonding package in state history. What was that amount of the GO bonding last year?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have the number in front of me. I'll defer to Mr. Lee. I think that, you know, over the years and the tours and whatnot, all these numbers are starting to mix now. So I apologize that I don't have that number specifically.
That's totally fair. Sure. We'll have Mr. Lee's digging.
Representative Lee.
Lee Grafflo.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Yeah. Representative Lee. Is it fair to say that the DFL has spent and borrowed so much money you're inventing new numbers? Is that what we're looking at here?
Lead Grafflo, that's not what I'm hearing at all. I'm hearing a lot of needs across all of our communities.
And Madam Chair, I think to Representative Grafflo's point, you know, we know that under our Constitution, we need supermajority votes in order to pass any borrowing bill. And so this, and what we had last year, was a reflection of joint partnerships, you know, within the minority caucus and the majority caucuses, too.
Lead Grafflo.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, do you have an answer on that number?
Mr. Lee.
Madam Chair and Representative Grafflo, in the 2023 bonding bill, there is $1.517 billion in GO authorization, and then an additional general fund spending of $1.275 million. Not all of that is related to capital investment, but it was part of those two bills. So the total and about $45 million in user financing. So the total in the two capital investment bills last year was $2.838 billion.
Lead Grafflo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and either Representative Lee or to the Chairman, as we look in our planning sheet here, we see that debt service costs are scheduled to increase by 19% in this biennium to the next biennium. For either the Chair or for the author, do you believe that's sustainable?
So it can go to the Chair. I can also go to our House Fiscal to talk about how we do debt forecasting as it relates to our bonding bill and our capacity, which Chair Lee touched on. But we could certainly have Mr. Lee or Representative Lee, however you want to handle that around debt service forecasting.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Lee needs to change his name. This is too confusing.
Chair Lee. So we'll go to Chair Lee first. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just make a quick comment and then maybe defer to House Fiscal to talk through how we go about forecasting and whatnot. And, for all of us, we're here. We have to make policy decisions. And I think just to the point that Representative Lilly made earlier, there's over $7.6 billion in requests. And whether we take action at the state or not, you know, those needs are real and those needs will remain. And this And what we're proposing to do is to make sure that we address some of the critical infrastructure needs that we have across the state. And, you know, let's say that we don't get anything done, you know, to your point, Representative Garofalo, then, you know, I think that that's a detriment to all Minnesotans, because we have an opportunity now to start making a dent towards the overall needs that we have for our infrastructure.
Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, to the chair or either the author of the bill, the question was about this, the 19% increase in debt service. And I'm familiar with how the bonds are let. They're not immediately all released at once. We're seeing a 19% increase in principal and interest payments. I mean, do you guys think that that's sustainable? I mean, do you think you can keep doing that?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you know, Representative Garofalo. I think this is why we have the debt management guidelines over at the Minnesota Management and Budget, and we are within the guidelines that's set forth, and we continue to have great AAA credit ratings. And so I think that, you know, we are working within the means of what we can do here at the state of Minnesota.
Thank you. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the answer to that question is, from your perspective, it's yes, that that's okay, that we can continue that. I would disagree with that, but I don't want to finish in a negative comment, Representative Lee, so let me just tell you that I really like your tie, but I'll be voting no on your bill today. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Seeing none, I'll go to Representative Lee for final word on House File 5220.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I encourage your support as we continue to move forward with this proposal. And I hope that, you know, the bill that when we have in front of all of you will be reflective of priorities of, you know, all branches of government. And just for the record, I think the amounts that we have in library construction grants, those are just placeholders right now for one, for local projects, and then for two, just the funding that we will not be spending should we go down to a lower amount. And so that's what's in there for the library construction grants. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee, and thank you for all your work and being incredibly deliberate about making sure we're smart and responsible about leaving things in good hands with keeping our AAA bond rating and putting together a bill and doing it in circumstances. And I think Representative Rarick did a great job highlighting the requests and the needs across the state, and you're trying to balance all of those demands as highlighted. We appreciate all your work on that. And so I renew my motion that House File 5220, as amended, be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No. No.
The motion prevails, and House File 5220, as amended, has been placed on the general register. So our next bill is House File 5162, which is the general fund cash capital investment bill, which we had the spreadsheet walk through already. So I move that House File 5162 be placed on the general register, and we have an amendment. So I also move the A5 amendment, Representative Lee or Ms. Griffin, to the A5 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would defer to Chelsea Griffin to help walk us through the amendment.
Welcome back, Ms. Griffin. If you wouldn't mind, please explaining the A5 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, for the record, Chelsea Griffin with House Research. I plan to do the same thing for this walkthrough with this amendment as I did with the bonding bill amendment, to focus the walkthrough on the Article 2 provisions, as the Article 1 appropriations were already covered by Mr. Lee. So the Article 2 amendment changes to the amendment coded H5162A5 that begin on line 2.4. Lines at 2.4 to 2.8 add language for that relates to the capital project preservation accounts section. This actually adds a requirement for the capital budget submissions for political subdivisions to identify if they have a capital improvement plan process that meets criteria for exemption under the capital project preservation account section. Lines at 2.9 to 2.21 are changes to the sustainable building guidelines section, and these are changes that came from the Department of Administration. Lines 2.22 to 3.20 are changes to the capital project preservation accounts section. It adds a definition of capital project grant agreement. It replaces the term replacement with preservation for the naming of the program and the fund. And it provides language about capital improvement plans and entities that have those being exempt from the requirements. It also states that failure of a grantee to comply with the requirements of the section shall not be an event of default under the capital project grant agreement. The instruction on line 3.21 deletes the secondary sources of drinking water program, which is not funded in the bill. Lines 3.22 to 4.2 make changes to the Metropolitan Council Community Tree Planting Grants Program. It adds a definition of metropolitan area. It provides that owners of private property in the metropolitan area could be eligible grantees, and it makes it changes to the supplemental demographic index score language. Lines 4.3 to 4.7 extend an appropriation from 2023 to implement the updated capital mall design framework. And the repealer on lines 4.8 to 4.9 repeals language that established and appropriated money to the community vitality account. And Madam Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Discussion to the A5 amendment. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if you could explain just a little bit again on lines 2.9 through 2.21, what exactly the language accomplishes.
Ms. Griffin.
Madam Chair, these are technical corrections. I'll go over the more substantive points here. Let me get the language of the bill out too. So the instruction on line 2.9 just is a technical correction, adding the so that the sentence works well. The instruction on line 2.10 to 2.11 amends the definition of project. The instruction, that also applies to the instruction on 2.21. The instruction on line 2.14, that deletes the requirement that the guidelines would apply to projects that receive an appropriation from the general fund, so that would no longer be an instance where the guidelines would apply. The instruction on lines 2.15 to 2.16 provide clarifying language about the role of the Center for Sustainable Building Research. And the instruction on line 2.17 this is just a technical amendment deleting language that relates to the guideline-related data submission process. And that also extends to the instruction on 2.18. And the instructions on 2.19 to 2.20 also relate to the procedures that are listed in Subdivision 7 of the guidelines language. And finally, the instruction on 2.21 requires that the report not be annual, but be in the odd numbered year.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So most of them are technical, but I do have a question specifically for the author of the amendment, Representative Lee, for on line 2.14. And now the guidelines are no longer applying. And do you know why we're changing that?
Representative Lee.
2.14. So thank you for the question, Representative Rick. So this is a provision that Representative Ryer worked on, and I will have Representative Ryer follow up with you. But I think to the overall around just that provision around the sustainable building guidelines, just kind of the history for all of you so that you kind of understand where we got to this part where I believe last biennium we had the Office of the Legislative Auditor do a report on the program just to see if we have any compliance with that. And they came out with a report saying that there's no compliance. The agencies didn't know who were responsible for administering the program or whatnot. And so last year, I believe in the energy bill with Chair Acomb, we received some funding to allow for the Center for sustainable building research over at the U and Department Administration to work on a report to come back to the legislature with recommendations on how we could improve. And my understanding was that that may not have been reflected in the report, but don't quote me on that. And I'll make sure that Representative Ryer provide that information as to why they made the decision to remove that piece.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, well, I would love an answer as to why we're taking out that these guidelines no longer apply. That would be wonderful to know that. That's all I have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the author of the amendment, page four, lines four, four, talking about the Capitol Mall design, what are we trying to accomplish with that amendment?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So this is to extend the time frame for them to be able to use the funding that was included in the 2023 chapter law.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lee, and how much was that in the 2023?
Representative Lee.
Madam Chair, let me check. And I think I can defer to Chair Cleavorn, who I believe was the author of that finance bill.
Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Representative Novotny, for the question. Pertaining specifically to 4.4 to 4.7, when we originally wrote the provision for the $5 million expenditure, we said it had to be used by the end, by December 30th, 2024. What we discovered is that it's not possible to do the implementation within that time frame. So we are allowing the appropriation to go to the end of the fiscal year. And that gives them the 6 months that they need to plant the trees and make sure that they survive. Thank you.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That'll be all.
Further discussion to the A5 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A5 amendment has been adopted. Discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just have a quick question on page two of the financial spreadsheet in regards to line 125 that says sustainable building guidelines implementation. What guidelines are we implementing there? I mean, if we can just give me a general view of what those are and what it impact.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a good question. And so that will be to the the language that we have in Article 2 of the bill right now. And like I mentioned before in my previous remarks, that covers some of the recommendations from the report that was done earlier this year. And if members want, we can make sure to send that report out to members of the committee so that you have that in front of you as to why we went this route.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. Lee, Chair Lee, let's get this right here. Does that have anything to do with the palace that's being built across the way, or is this completely separate?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I'm not capturing the questions. Can you rephrase that for me, please?
Representative Petersburg.
Well, when we talk about building guidelines and sustainability, it usually refers to the sustainability of the buildings going up and going forward, those that are in existence as well. And so I'm inquiring as to what's there. And the reason why I ask that is in the previous bill, we had $8 million put in for accessibility for the tunnel system, which I would have thought would have been part of the original project, which is being funded by an entirely different funding mechanism. And I'm just wanting to get a handle on, are we supplanting other things that are being done with the building going across the street that should have been done with that particular funding mechanism, and whether or not we're paying for that here. So I'm just wanting to know whether or not any of these sustainable building guidelines are going to be implemented or involved with that, and if not, that's fine. I just am curious.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Chair Olson, and thank you, Representative, for the clarification. I don't have the answer in front of me, but I could check with the Department of Administration to get a response back on if this applies for that.
Thank you.
Further discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Rarick.
Oh.
Sorry.
You're good.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm just wondering, on page 2 of the spreadsheet, you've got grants to political subdivisions on line 1.28, City of St. Paul, and its specific planning and economic development for the capital area. What are we doing? So are we doing business development on the Capitol Mall, or what exactly is the $5 million for?
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So the language that we have is to for grant to the City of St. Paul Department of Planning and Economic Development to improve the livability, economic health, and safety of communities within the Capitol area. And I think, you know, I could defer to Chair Cleveland, who has been working on this issue, that could speak more specifically to the work that they're planning to do.
Representative Cleveland, would you like to add some comments to that as well?
I just want to make sure that I'm clear as to which lines of the bill she's referencing. I'm sorry, Representative Rarick, would you please state which lines you're referencing?
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would be happy to. So I'm on the spreadsheet, the 5-page spreadsheet, page 2, specifically line 1.25, 1.28. City of St. Paul planning and economic development for the capital area, $5 million.
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your asking for the clarification. In the state government bill, we referred to this as the capital area vitality account. And this is making sure that in listening to the conversation on the floor during the debate for the state and local government bill, we heard some concerns. So this moves all of the assets that are in the state government bill for the use for the community vitality account to the City of St. Paul. And the City of St. Paul, it makes it very clear that they would be working in conjunction with the CAP board. So the CAP board would still be involved, but the City of St. Paul would have the vetting process so that we're sure that how that is going to be done. And this is to improve community safety, allow it for technical assistance. It would be for micro grants, small grants, medium-sized grants, and to make sure that the initiatives that the community is bringing forward to improve the community for safety, maybe bringing in a grocery store and repairing the items that are in disrepair in the neighborhood, that all of those grants would be used within the guidelines of the Economic Development Department of the City of St. Paul. And you will see a cancellation for the money that was in the state government bill back on page, on line 436 of the spreadsheet. So it's not additional money, it's in lieu of money.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. Thank you. So just one clarification. So it says capital area. Is that Capitol Mall or is that a surrounding area?
It is.
Representative Cleaborn.
Sorry. Thank you very much. It is defined in the capital area planning, and the area defined in the capital planning and architecture board comp plan.
Representative Rarick.
Okay. I'll just move on. All right, so on line, page 4, line 289, grants for the Capitol Mall improvements, it's another $1 million. And Chair Lee, if you could let me know what that was. Again, that's page 4 of the spreadsheet, line 289, $1 million for Capitol Mall improvements.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Rurk, for the question. And so if you look at the language in the first engrossment of the bill on page 4 from line 4.15 to 4.27, this is a grant to the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation for promotion, fundraising, and other supporting efforts to raise at least $5 million in non-state funds toward capital improvements consistent with the Capitol Mall Design Framework update.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, so what are we envisioning that will produce? So you're trying to raise $5 million more from $1 million to do what exactly?
Representative Lee.
To support the efforts that's consistent with the Capitol Mall Design Framework.
Okay, and it sounds like Representative Cleaborn, there's a lot of overlap between with the work that's being done in state government and within the bonding space. So we'll give a little latitude here for Representative Cleaborn to offer comments too.
Thank you very much. In the state government budget last year, there was an appropriation for $1 million to bring in an outside consultant to help us figure out the best way to make the Capitol Mall more inviting and welcoming to all members of our state. A beautiful plan was put forward that you can find on the CAP Board webpage, and it will describe for you phase one, phase two, and further phases. But when looking at the plan itself, we thought there were opportunities to bring in public-private partnerships and to maybe do some fundraising for the enhancements to the Capitol Mall. And so this is a way for us to leverage private dollars to do some of the work to make the Capitol Mall area more inviting, more welcoming. So for example, there is, and this is just one of many different ideas that was floated, but it would give you an idea. So we thought instead of using state money to put in, let's say, a shelter for students when they arrive at the bus to be able to go and to use the restroom and to wash their hands and to have a place to have their sack lunch, we would maybe have a welcoming center. Well, that's something maybe that we could use some private dollars for instead of using state dollars. So it's just an opportunity for us to figure out where we can leverage those private dollars to make the Capitol area more inviting.
Representative Rurick.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Representative Petersburg.
Just a quick one, because we've been talking about this, and it's directed here because we're talking about bonding, which is area preservation and so forth. And I'm only aware of some of this because I was on state government for a while too. The Capitol area and the Capitol area complex, I know that outside of just what we think is the complex, we have some authority over that. Do we know what area we have ability to impact zoning and other things in regards to the Capitol complex, or is it only within the confines of what we see on a map? Does anybody know that question?
I think it looks like Representative Cleavorn can speak to that a little bit.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question. I would encourage everyone to go to the CAP Board webpage, and they can see the entire map and the zoning area that the CAP Board has jurisdiction over, which is considered to be the Capitol area. And there it will show you the entire Capitol area districts. It will show you what mall, memorials and monuments, what state buildings, the Capitol building itself. And then also you can see the entire comp plan and read it for yourselves. It's a fascinating document, and I was really excited to read it myself.
Thank you. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, and that's helpful. I don't have my computer here, and I think it's important here. Do we have a general, is it a radius? Is it more than a few blocks outside of the area? If we could help put on record, that would be helpful.
We'll do that with Representative Cleavorn, and then we're kind of going far afield a little bit here, but that's okay. Representative, that's fine, Representative Petersburg. Totally understand. Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you very much. It is divided into four major districts. District A is considered the Capitol Rice District. District B is considered Capitol Heights. District C is the Fitzgerald Park area, and then the last one is the Capitol area complex itself.
Thank you. Representative Novotny.
I believe Representative Cleavorn just covered it greatly.
Great. Further discussion to the bill as amended? Seeing no further discussion, to your bill as amended, Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the robust discussion. And I do want to note that, you know, we do have some state agencies here, or they're listening in. And, you know, for any of the items that pertain to them, I'll make sure that our committee staff reach out to them for that information, and we could disperse that to the committee members here, and so that we could have that information that you have requested. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lee, for all your work. And I renew my motion that House File 5162, as amended, be placed on the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 5162, as amended, has been placed on the General Register. We likely will need at least one more hearing of the Ways and Means Committee before the end of session. So details are still TBD, so just keep your eyes on your email for postings about that, and we'll give members as much notification as we can. And we have no further business, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.